a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Veterans are who we are, what we talk about, who we fight for. This podcast sheds light on real issues facing our veterans. It informs the uninformed, it celebrates their triumphs, and provides hope to those fighting a silent battle. This is Upholding Valor. Welcome. I'm Jill Atwood, Director of Communications for the VA Salt Lake City Healthcare System, and your host for Upholding Valor. Today, we're going to talk about the lasting impact on healthcare due to COVID-19. We're going to check in with one veteran and a provider, really trying to adapt to the new norm. The new norm here is VA Video Connect or virtual healthcare. We're really trying to push this for our veterans so we can stay connected in this uncertain time, and we don't know how long this is going to go on. So I want to introduce Jim Draculis. He is an Air Force and Army veteran. And we also have Jeanette Lambert. And Jeanette and I go way back. We've been here at the VA for a long time. And she is an RN in our mental health building. So thank you so much, both of you, for being here. I know sometimes it's even hard to get on campus with all the screening and the checks, and we're all trying to be safe. So I appreciate you coming and sharing your story. You know, Jim, I want to start with you. I had a friend ask me the other day, how are our veterans doing specifically? Because, you know, a lot of folks think when they think of veterans, they think about our older veterans, our more vulnerable population. You are an older veteran, and a lot of things, I'm sure, have changed for you in the last 6 months with this pandemic. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Thank you for asking. I think that I am a little bit more of an adventurous type veteran, that I'm willing to get out there and do things.
Good. That makes me happy. So you're not isolating. Take me through when it first happened and sort of how things have evolved for you through this.
Well, it began way back in the first part of March. Mm-hmm. And so we immediately got basically cut off from the VA. But the VA quickly, because I think they've already had some experience in doing telehealth with certain distant veterans. And so it was easily incorporated. And with me, it was fairly easy to do. I just, they sent you out an email, and then you just click on the right spot and you connect at that particular hour. Sometimes the questionnaires in order to connect are very, a lot of typing, but finger typing basically on either your iPod or your iPhone or your Android
sure.
phone to do the connection, the video connection. But once you connect, it's you're doing a kind of, like you worded it, a virtual one-on-one with your provider or your, and there's it's increasing, and not just certain individuals, but it's going more wholesale throughout the VA. Mm-hmm. With a lot of different appointments that one might have, but it's fairly easy.
How important has this connection been for you? Because I know that was a fear for many veterans. We had a lot of phone calls, a lot of communication. We needed to get out, that things are a little bit different now. for a while. We call it the new norm. But how has that connection been for you? How important?
That connection's been fairly important because I'm able to connect with my the people that I need to connect, my providers, my therapist. I'm able to see them live and do a one-on-one with them. It's not necessarily the most comfortable of without being in live, face to face. It's kind of like talking to God almost, because you're not seeing Him face to face. But you are somewhat in a video conference. However, it suffices. It does the job for the meantime. I know that the VA is kind of like a, right now, it's kind of like a ghost town around here at the VA, but you can keep in touch with your health care providers, neurology and endocrinology and my primary care doctor and my therapist and my psychiatrist. All of these people I've been able to talk to live through the telehealth communication. So it's been, for me, a very positive experience because I need that.
Sure. And I think we all would prefer face-to-face in many different scenarios. I don't know about just a routine checkup. I'm probably okay with, you know, the virtual stuff. But I think most of us would like that one-on-one connection. So we're going to embrace the positive because that's what we need to do here. Do you find it more convenient as well? Does it save you time?
Yes, it does save you time because you don't have to get up. And if you, like I live in Provo, so I have to drive 50 minutes away to get here to the VA.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a long drive.
But and in that sense, it's very convenient because you just can put a nice shirt on and be in your shorts in front of your provider. And
or just keep your PJs on. I don't think they care.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you're in the hospital, you are in your PJs. You know, if you're in, if you're in the hospital for care.
Right.
But if you're in to see the doctor just on an appointment, no, you're in street clothes. But at home, you can still see the provider face-to-face, video face-to-face, I should say. But they're the same person, and you can share the same jokes with them and laugh and or for that matter, cry over your situation. And they can sense that just as easily as if you were in person. I don't know what else to say, that it's been a good experience for me.
I appreciate that, Jim. I'm going to bring Jeanette in for a second because you mentioned something earlier that really telehealth and VA Video Connect is not new to the VA. In fact, I'm pretty certain we lead the way when it comes to this sort of things. And I was just over in, we're taping this from Salt Lake City. I was just over in Building 590 and they have a completely new designated room with pods just for this, for VA Video Connect. And it was really quite impressive. And I would argue that you probably wouldn't find anything like that elsewhere in the state or even in the country for that matter, maybe at VA hospitals. Jeanette, talk to me about your role as a provider doing VA Video Connect. I know that we've all done it in the past, but we've had to just ramp it way up. And it's not the most comfortable change for a lot of our providers who have been doing this for a long time. Talk to me about that transition and really that learning curve of having to get up to speed quickly.
Right. Well, you know, they actually started this training in what we refer to it as VVC, which is the Video Connect, way before the pandemic came. And I kind of felt like it wasn't something I'd really use. Some of the doctors and stuff would have to use it with people that live far away. This VA has a catchment area that's massive, and there are people that are 6-8 hours away. And so it's been very useful for that small amount of people to see their doctor. When the pandemic came, it became clear that if I wanted to see my patients, that's how I had to see them, was through the video connect. And, you know, initially I did phone calls. The phone line's not enough for me anyway, because body language, you know, your eyes, all those other things just really make a big difference. I am not a technologically savvy person. I'm right. A middle-aged woman and did not grow up with computers.
Gotcha.
So I was scared. But once I did it, I couldn't believe how user-friendly it was and how wonderful it was, and that I really was able to relax and kind of feel like I was just doing my regular live interview and assessing and, you know, having been able to do my full job as a nurse. Which I can't do just on the phone.
And what types of appointments do you do specifically? Talk to me a little bit about the work that you do. Mm-hmm. And do you feel like you're making an impact virtually?
Well, what I do is I'm a case manager, and so a lot of what I do is supportive in nature. I'll ask them about their medications. Do they need refills? How are they doing? What's going on in their lives? What are their stressors? Right now, there's tons of stressors. Everybody in the whole world is, you know, our stress level is up. And so that does mean that anxiety disorders and depressive disorders and all those things are going to be manifesting at a higher level because of the just general stress level. So just seeing that they're okay or that they're not okay and being able to talk to them, having them access tools they've learned through their therapy and stuff like that. And getting them to someone they need to see. You know, maybe they need a medication change.
Sure.
And so I can get a hold of the doc and say, hey, we need you to do a VVC with this patient because they're really struggling right now.
You said something earlier about you feel like as a society we're kind of losing connection.
Oh, absolutely.
What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, if you just think about your life and all the things that you did prior to March 2020, you know, church, movies, restaurants, just all the connection, talking to neighbors, bringing, you know, hugging. I was a huggy person.
I'm a hugger too. I know it's hard.
And it just stopped. It just like absolutely stopped. And you know, we are tribal by nature.
Yeah.
We need each other. And that connection, you know, has always been up close and personal. And we're having to adjust it to try to maintain the personal but not up close. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it is a learning curve.
How do we get more veterans to buy into this? I'm going to start with you, Jeanette, and then we'll go to you, Jim. How do we get more veterans to buy into this and realize it is pretty simple? Not ideal mm-hmm. for every right. case, of course, but that we need to do this.
I think you buy in it when you try it. When you try it, it manifests itself as, hey, this works. You know, that was it was for me. You know, I don't like being on video. I don't like seeing myself. But what I get, being able to see my veterans and know that they're okay and see their eyes and see their smile and body language and everything else, it literally is try it. If you hate it, then don't do it. But I think that almost everyone I've done it with has said, hey, this is fine. You know,
oh,
this
good.
Worked.
You've gotten positive feedback.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Jim? How do we get other veterans to be adventurous like you and go for the VA Video Connect? Because it is just as simple as clicking on a link.
It is as simple as clicking on a link. And you hope that the link works.
That's fair. That's fair.
Sometimes they don't. But in my case, oftentimes when it doesn't work, the provider usually calls you on the phone to see what's going on, and then immediately they send another link. It's kind of like, I don't want to compare it, but it's like Zoom. Oftentimes I have Zoom conferences with other people, mm-hmm. Not too often, but I do. And if I don't have that link, I can't communicate with them. Whereas the VA Video Connect, the link, you just click on it, and then it takes you through a series of questions that you answer positively or negatively, whatever you do. It's just a matter of typing in your name and address. And then it just takes you to the provider. And if the provider isn't up yet, it just has you, tells you calmly, like on the phone call, it keeps come back to reassure you that person's on, you know, on that we've notified the individual and they'll be on there really quick.
It's just like waiting in the exam room.
Right.
You know they're going to come in the door any second.
And it oftentimes, I know that elderly people are a lot more reluctant to try new things because nobody likes change. Or change is daunting at the beginning. But the more you try it, the more experience you get. I just want to reiterate something that Jen said. It's amazing me that she has been a forefront exemplar for other people, because she says, well, I got this other person that needs to practice how to do this. Will you be willing to be the guinea pig? She doesn't use those words, but that's that's what you end up being.
Sure.
And he says, okay, yeah, I'll try it. And then, you know, the other person on a certain time, an hour, calls you up and away you go. And it's not necessarily that they ask you inquisitive questions. They just want to know how to do it on their end. And on your end, if you have experience, you just keep on rolling with the ball. Well, it's the same thing for the veteran. He just has to try it. And the more often, it's kind of like anything, the more you try, the more experience you get, and the easier it becomes. And so it really is all that. It's just as simple as trying it and over and over. And most of the time, I'd say 95% of the time, or maybe higher, it works. And so you're able to connect with your provider or your therapist or whoever. And it works. It really does work. And you're able to get the loneliness out of your way.
That leads me to my final question for you. Has it made you feel safer during these crazy times?
That's you're talking to an Uber driver, so...
So you are adventurous.
Yes, I am very adventurous. So
I think you understand, though, what I'm asking.
No, it
you.
Does make me very much safer. In fact, I do know of individuals that are just reluctant to try this, and it's something that they have to individually get over. It's that simple. It's just like putting your toe in the swimming pool.
Sure.
You know, you just either sooner or later, you got to jump in that cold water.
There is a resource I'd like to direct you to. It's connectedcare.va.gov, connectedcare.va.gov, and that explains everything. It's really more information that you need. If you're curious, though, and you're listening and you want to see what we're talking about, go to that website. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jeanette, so much. I appreciate it. We need people to come forward and help us educate veterans, and because we're all in this together, right?
Yes, we are. Definitely, we are all in this together.
Thank you
so much. And it works.
I appreciate that. And thanks for joining us today for Upholding Valor. Stay safe, take care of each other, and be kind. This is Jill Atwood. I'm a VA employee, Army veteran, and veteran of Desert Storm, and this is very personal to me. There is no greater mission than to serve and fight for those who fought for us. Thanks for listening, and thanks for caring. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe or rate us, or better yet, tell a vet. And tell a friend to tune in by texting VETERANS to 57500 or go to ksl360.com/veterans. VA is honored to serve you. Talk to you next time.